Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Nicola Everett.
Hello, hope you're okay on Wednesday, April the 9th. Thanks ever so much for downloading today's podcast. Coming up on today's episode, calls to clear the court backlog in Kent. Plans for thousands of new homes in a part of the county are back on the table, and hear from Gillingham's goal scorer following last night's game. But first today, an inquest into the death of a young girl at a music festival in Margate has heard more than 80 people were found with drugs at the event. 17-year-old Emily Stokes suffered a cardiac arrest after taking MDMA at the Drum and Bass Festival at Dreamland in June last year. Organisers of the gig say they had a zero tolerance policy, and those who were found in possession would have had the drug seized and been turned away. Our reporter Millie Bowles has been at the inquest for the podcast.
Today we heard evidence from Shane Guy, the operations manager at Dreamland. He said that 82 people had drugs seized off them at the event, and he also explained the processes that Dreamland put in place. And they also heard from a social worker that worked with Emily. She described her as a remarkable young lady, and also revealed that she'd been told she wasn't allowed to go to the event before the tragedy happened. We also heard from two staff members for Integrated Medical Services, which was hired by Dreamland for the event. It's a private company. And one of them described the situation on the day as manic, with the number of patients that they had coming in. Many of those had taken drugs, and some were traumas, or people had fallen over or something like that. Emily's heart rate was 200 beats per minute. The normal rate is 60 to 100. They also said her temperature was very high, and she was delirious and sort of not coherent at times, and in a very agitated state. Only one private ambulance, and that's from Kent Central Ambulance Service, was hired for the event, and that ambulance took Emily to hospital. However, it was called and requested while it was en route coming back from QEQM, which meant there was some delay in getting her in the ambulance. Managing Director of Integrated Medical Services, Chris Young, said that one ambulance is typical for an event of this size. It would only be considered that they needed two ambulances if it was a large-scale event over a large amount of ground where they couldn't get from one end to the other very quickly. He also mentioned the proximity of QEQM hospital in Margate. It was very close by. And that was part of the reasoning for only having one private ambulance at the event. Staff did have the option to call CCAM, but a IMS staff member explained that the private ambulance wouldn't be diverted to other calls. It would be coming straight from QEQM for Emily, and that's why the decision was made to use that ambulance rather than an NHS one.
Thanks ever so much to Millie for those details. The inquest continues today.
Kent Online News.
Other top stories today, and a young woman's gone on trial accused of murdering her cousin's boyfriend near Maidstone. Paige Poulton is accused of stabbing Jack Cadwallader in an act of anger at a flat on Southfields Way in Harrietsham last July. The 20-year-old, who now lives in Haringey in London, denies murder. A court's heard she's likely to claim she acted in self-defence. Two masked men who stole £18,000 in a violent robbery in Whitstable have been jailed. A 76-year-old man was left with broken ribs after being punched to the ground at his home in the Warren in February last year. 32-year-old Thomas Sharland from Queen Street and Joseph Devoy, who's 29 and previously from Station Chine, have been locked up for a total of more than 16 years. Four people have been arrested following the alleged assault of a woman in Hawkhurst. The victim was driving along Water Lane, which is a one-way street, last Sunday afternoon when she stopped to talk to the drivers of a motorbike and car travelling in the other direction. Two men aged 26 and 50 and two women who are 21 and 50 have been detained. Police want to speak to anyone with information. Now, Kent MPs urging government to do more more to clear the backlog of Crown Court cases in Kent. Tris Osborne has told a debate in Westminster Hall that more than 2,300 are waiting to be heard in Maidstone, with almost 900 due to be heard in Canterbury. The Chatham and Aylesford rep says it's having a huge impact as some wait years for justice.
This issue is not just about numbers or administrative delays, but about real people whose lives are being upended because the justice system is struggling to deliver in a timely manner. And I hope today's debate will allow us to scrutinise these issues, but more importantly, help us to come together to find practical and meaningful solutions to the crisis that we are facing. Because at its core, the phrase "justice delayed is justice denied" remains as relevant today as when it was first coined. This truism has never been more evident in the context of the growing delays in trials and hearings. For victims, defendants, witnesses, and everyone involved, long waits for justice can feel like an agonising experience. These delays are not just frustrating. They have far-reaching consequences for people's lives, for their mental health, and for the reputation of the justice system itself. When delays are allowed to go unchecked, the system loses its legitimacy and people begin to lose confidence in its ability to deliver justice at all. While this is a national issue affecting courts across the entire country, Kent has been particularly impacted by these delays, especially in certain parts of the county. Some courts are experiencing far more severe backlogs than others. For example, in open source information, Maidstone Crown Court currently has 2,367 outstanding cases, compared to Canterbury, which has an outstanding 894 cases. These figures are interesting and I will talk about later. Additionally, the latest figures from the Kent Police and Crime Commissioner, covering the period from July to September last year, showed a 269% increase in court backlogs compared to 2019. So this leaves a total of 3,261 Crown Court cases waiting to be heard in Kent, from a figure from September last year. This stark disparity in waiting times between courts is deeply concerning, as it undermines the principle of equal access to justice for all. It is a problem that demands urgent attention as it reflects a growing imbalance in how the justice system is applied.
Now, the minister responded and said that an extra courtroom is being made available in Canterbury and some cases will be transferred from Maidstone. This is the response from Sarah Sackman.
To deliver swifter justice for victims, we announced funding that will enable us to sit 110,000 Crown Court sitting days in this financial year. That is an additional 4,000 more days than the previous government funded and the highest allocation in recorded history. The Honourable Member for Battle and Bexhill says, well, that's not as many as the Lady Chief Justice could offer up. The fact is there is a difference between sitting days and the capacity of the system, because it's not simply judicial sitting days, it's the capacity of our prosecutors, of our defence lawyers, legal aid, the entirety of the system to operate. And we have allocated a record number of sitting days within that context. I know the Honourable Member for Chatham is, of course, specifically concerned with the situation in Kent, and I'm thankful for his efforts and those of fellow members of Parliament within the Kent area for raising this issue. And I am sincerely sorry to hear about the experiences that he describes and how they are impacting upon his constituents. Within this record Crown Court sitting day allocation, this will allow Kent to sit in all of its courts for the full year at capacity. And this will include, in addition, an additional courtroom at Canterbury, where we've equipped the room for Crown Court use. And to his question about flexibility, of course, listing is a matter for the independent judiciary. But that additional capacity at Canterbury will enable some of those cases at Maidstone to be transferred to Canterbury. In addition to that, there is flexibility in the system to deal with additional capacity and additional pressures. So in addition to the sixth courtroom at Canterbury, we're also working closely with circuit presiding judges to enable additional Kent cases to be heard within London. Some of this has already begun, with cases emanating from northwest Kent being dealt with at Woolwich Crown Court. And I hope that that will alleviate some of the pressures faced by his constituents.
Kent Online reports.
A Snodland man who racially abused an Ashford taxi driver has been ordered to do unpaid work. A court's heard Charlie Brown made derogatory comments while being taken from a bar in the town to Maidstone Town Centre in 2023. The 38-year-old from Whitby Close said he was silly and immature. He's also been told to pay compensation. A suspected drug dealer's been arrested after police stopped a car in Swanscombe. The vehicle was pulled over in Stanhope Road on Monday. It led to the search of a property in Canterbury, which uncovered cocaine. A protester's been thrown out of a meeting as plans were discussed for new homes near Canterbury. Developers want to put 17 properties on land in Wingham, but it got pretty heated during talk about a pedestrian crossing on Preston Hill near the busy A257, which is the main road through the village. Now, campaigners argued the site of the crossing was dangerous. Mark Havard interrupted from the public gallery when a legal advisor told councillors they couldn't justify rejecting the scheme. Well, he's been speaking to our reporter, Sam Lennon.
This has been going to and fro, this application, for 5 years, and there's a reason it hasn't gone through, and it's because it's dangerous. It's as simple as that. A 12-year-old boy given this puzzle at school would say, this is a bit dangerous, people get killed here. And yet we've got grown-ups in there will be spending money for 5 years asking over and over again through greed trying to get this going through, and the battle's not won yet, but the thing is people will get killed there, and that's why people are emotional about it, because you know it's just such an obviously dangerous place at the bottom of Preston Hill.
So you stand by your action in that chamber, interrupting the meeting?
I was just telling the truth. I got fed up of listening to lies.
Almost 250 letters of objection to the scheme were received by the council. Following a long discussion, councillors voted 5-1 to reject the application. Resident Mark Gardner shared his reaction.
I think it's a sensible decision made by the members of the council, because they realise they take responsibility for people's lives in crossing a dangerous road. And whatever the experts say, they've overruled them and gone with their judgment and with the local residents.
Right. And what sum up in a word, what was your concern about this application?
My concern was that people, children will be crossing that road, mothers and prams, and they're going to get killed and run over.
And the danger from that crossing is what, say, sum up?
It's congested, it's dangerous, HGVs use it, farm machinery uses it, and cars speed.
Now, they were talking about the visibility. Just sum up very simply what the visibility problem is.
The only place for a crossing on that road is on a curve at the end of the road, where the view is obscured by a hedge and a wall and a plumber's van. And there's under no circumstances can you possibly see oncoming cars, whatever the experts might say.
A man who left another driver with serious injuries following a road rage attack in Canterbury has avoided being sent to prison. Jack Cox struck his victim with his Ford Focus after being waved through a row of parked vehicles in May 2022, leaving him with fractures to his spine. The 29-year-old from Blean Common has been ordered to do 225 hours of unpaid work and has a six-month driving ban. And it's emerged a man who was arrested for carrying a knife in Herne Bay was actually an American tourist who didn't understand UK weapon laws. He was on holiday in the seaside town when he was detained last Thursday. Police say they've seized the blade and have spoken to the man to explain our rules.
Kent Online reports.
A care home in Gillingham that supports adults with autism, learning disabilities and mental health conditions has been placed into special measures. Inspectors visited Rock House in January and found residents were facing unnecessary restrictions on their daily lives. It's been rated inadequate by the Care Quality Commission, who are monitoring the site to make sure improvements are made. Bosses at a church in Maidstone have been criticised for installing AMPR cameras in the car park. Signs have been put up warning anyone leaving a vehicle at Holy Family Catholic Church in Parkwood and not visiting the church itself faces a fine. Well, church leaders say they do sympathise with residents, but the spaces were never meant for public use as it's private property. Adolescent star Ashley Waters has been given permission to build a swimming pool and gym at his home near Herne Bay. Neighbours had complained about his application for a single-storey detached outbuilding in the garden of his property, but the council say it won't have any negative impact on the area. Now, next today, controversial plans for a 2,500 home estate near Sittingbourne are back on the agenda, more than 6 years after they were first suggested. Developers want to put properties on farmland off the Sheppey Way in Bobbing. They say they've addressed concerns over open space, sports provisions and road links, and more than a third of the homes would be what's classed as affordable. Well, Peter French lives in Bobbing. He's worried about the plans.
The primary concern is the infrastructure of the area. It will not sustain the amount of building that's going to happen or would happen. We've also is the fact that all these green fields here, we're going to lose this food. Where does this food get grown after it's been built on? Because this country is sadly lacking in supporting its own food supply, and we badly need it. We badly need it. And as this war in Ukraine has happened, we sadly started looking, or everybody should be looking, at how much import that we actually bring into this country and not grow it ourselves.
And obviously, I don't know if you can sort of point out for me just sort of the scope of the build.
Well, that's a good question, because it will come from over there on the hill, all the way round, as the vista can see, and we don't actually know what the real end product is, because as you all well know, once it gets built, there's add-ons. There's never any less ones. It's all add-ons. So we don't actually know. But if you actually have a look at this area, is it this you want to see, or is it houses?
And just talk to me a little bit about, you know, Bobbin, the character of Bobbin, I guess. What is it like?
Bobbin has a long history. It's a very old place to live. It's a very quiet place to live. It's very nice. People are very nice here. Any further building around the area, there is not the infrastructure for it to have. It won't be beneficial to the area at all. We haven't got the doctors here, we haven't got the hospitals here, we haven't got the schools here. Just everything is not here, and this is the wrong place to put this development.
Peter there was speaking to our reporter Joe Crosley. Well, developers say the plans include the infrastructure needed to support the new residents. They've also told us there'll be a 200-bed care home proposed and a mixed-use local centre, which could have space for things like shops, a cafe, flexible workspaces, health provision and a nursery. There would also be a maximum of 15,500 square metres of floor space for mixed commercial use, and during construction, we're told 1,700 jobs would be created. Well, we'd love to know what you think of the plans. Perhaps you live in the area and you've been concerned about them in the past, or you think it's a good idea and would benefit the local community. You can comment by heading to the story at Kent Online, or you can leave a message on our socials.
Kent Online News.
A bushfire that broke out at a former military training ground in Canterbury is being treated as arson. Two areas of land went up in flames at the Old Park Estate yesterday. Firefighters used an all-terrain vehicle to tackle the blaze, which is thought to have been started deliberately. You can see video footage on the website. Three schools in Medway will be among the first to benefit from funding for the government's childcare expansion scheme. All Faith's Children's Academy and Cedar Children's Academy in Strood, as well as Horsted Infant School in Chatham, will convert existing classrooms into school-based nurseries. It's hoped it'll help families access more affordable childcare close to home. This is one of our most read stories on the website today. A Michelin-starred restaurant in Kent has been given a 2-star hygiene rating after an inspector found mould in a fridge. The Sportsman in Seasalter was downgraded from the highest 5 stars following the visit by council workers in February. Bosses say the issues raised are now being addressed. Another rail operator is bidding to run trains through the Channel Tunnel as a rival to Eurostar. The FS Italiana Group, which co-owns Avanti West Coast, is planning to start services between London and Paris Paris by 2029. Trains could also call at Ashford International. And finally, bat boxes have been installed at a wastewater treatment works near Aylesford. Southern Water say they want to help any animals that might have been disturbed by the removal of trees at the Burham site. Teams carried out surveys before installing the boxes and will keep checking for signs of any activity.
Kent Online Sports.
Football, and it was another draw for Gillingham in League Two last night. It finished 1-1 at Chesterfield. Elliot Nevitt scored for the Gills before the home side equalised on 77 minutes. Well, Gillingham manager Gareth Ainsworth has given us his reaction after the final whistle.
Really, really pleased with the boys. You know, this is a really tough place to come, you know. I know it's four draws, but three away trips, overnight trips against tough teams, you know. We've really messed up a few playoff charges, you know, with Chesterfield and Salford, you know, and Colchester at home. And that home game, how we didn't win it, you know, so that would have been a cracking start. But I just want to say that the boys are now realising what I'm all about, what I expect on a pitch, and they are absolutely giving everything. We had a formation we worked on the video. Again, we've had no time on the grass because of this fixture schedule. So on the video, they've taken the information in brilliantly. We changed just before kickoff because I thought Chesterfield had changed, but as it happens, they hadn't. So we changed back to our original plan. I was screaming original plan onto the pitch, and the boys adapted so well. And we really took the first half to them. You know, I thought we were a better team. I thought we controlled the ball better. We had some great chances first half. We frustrated them, we really did. And then second half, you know, when they kick into their home end, it's just like us at home in the Rainermen, you know, that the fans are behind them. We soaked up a lot of pressure, and just for that tiny moment, we'd have had a great win tonight. But, you know, they did put pressure on us. I'm not going to rose tint this and say we were perfectly calm, and they had some, only a couple of chances. But then I thought we could have nicked it at the end there. You know, we had a great header across the goal from Nev. And when Jimmy J came on a pullback to our man, it just got cut out. So, yeah, a real cracking game. I said we'd be hard to beat. And I'm hoping that the Gills fans, who, by the way, thank you, because you're going to get home at 3 a.m. and you've got behind your team like you wouldn't believe tonight. You know, and every time we did something well at the defending end, you could hear the applause, you could hear the chants, the songs. Players need that, I need that. And they were awesome today. So thank you. I think 340 have made that trip up, and that's a phenomenal number for a Tuesday night when there's Champions League on the TV and there's not much to play for in the season. Wow, thank you. Can't wait for the home game against MK on Saturday now. But yeah, I thought Chesterfield really came out as well second half. They've been together for 3 years, this squad, you know, and that's what you get, that style of play, that real togetherness that they've got. I'm just starting, but I'm really pleased with what I'm seeing, you know, and some real good performances.
And goal scorer Elliot Nevitt also spoke to our sports reporter Luke Cordell.
7 games unbeaten is good. We would have loved to have a few more wins in there, but in the season we've won 7 games defeat, so It's a big turn for us as a group, and I feel like the lads, the momentum changing, but it's towards the end of the season now, so we need to finish strong and bring it into to the next season now.
And that next season, I mean, what's happening now, that must fill you with a lot of confidence that you can go and do something next season as a team.
Yeah, it's all about finishing the season strong and enjoying playing football again. It's been tough this season with some of the performances. They haven't been good enough, and it's been hard on the players, and we just want to be out there and enjoying it, and playing for the fans, and it all as a club, enjoying Gillingham play football and win games, and hopefully for the remaining couple of games now we can do that.
Is that helping you? Because that finish looked like it was sort of like a natural sort of finish from you.
Yeah.
Is that sort of relaxed, confident sort of finish?
Yeah, that's what I think. That's what I do. I like the ones where you don't have to think. That I think it's just naturally, and it's a good finish. And I did do that last year a lot of times. So hopefully, with the confidence, I can do it to the end of the season, and hopefully start early next year.
2-2 now, isn't it? So it's a good chance to finish the season strong, isn't it?
Yeah, that's all we want. That's all I want. That's all the team wants. And That would be perfect for us.
The Jewels are now 17th in the League Two table after going 7 games undefeated, 6 of them draws. That's all from us for today. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget to follow us on socials. Plus, you can get details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via the briefing. To sign up to that, you just need to head to kentonline.co.uk. And whilst you're on the site, you can also sign up to Kent Online Premium. That gives you access to content with fewer ads and exclusive stories. And if you use the promo code Nicola Everett, all one word at the checkout, you'll get £30 off the price of an annual subscription.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast.